RSEA Safety, the ultimate destination for safety and workwear. Race in now and save during the winter sale. Robot Building Supplies. Robots got it and deliver. Robotbuildingsupplies.com.au.
Drive with Bob Murphy and Andy Ma.
Great to have you with us this Friday afternoon for Four Pines Brewing Co., the official beer of Drive and with him and me. Their Pacific Ale goes very, very. It goes very, very nicely. So if you're in the mood to try something a little bit different tonight, pop into the local and ask for the Four Pines Brewing Co. There you go.
Delicious.
Thank you very much. A great mate from the Melbourne Storm, Christian Welsh, always would rather talk about the Melbourne Football Club than the Storm. He seems to want to deflect a little bit. You know, let's just have some fun talking about other people other than us. But we can't let him do this. And I wouldn't do it to the listeners up in SEN Sunraysia who are massive Melbourne Storm fans and have just joined us the last hour of this show. He joins us for Red Z. Red Z loans to the self-employed, redz.com.au. Their last three halves have – I'm no rugby league expert, but their last three halves have surely pleased their coach, who's never pleased. Christian Welsh, please tell us that old bellyache has said, well played, boys. Halftime, what you've done since halftime of the Sharks game and then last night against the Rabbits, that looks from our perspective to be almost perfect football, mate.
Yeah, g'day, fellas. Thanks for having us on. Yeah, it was a really good hit out against the Rabbitohs. I think they were going seven straight. They were ahead of us on the ladder and they had a few outs, but it was a really good performance. And Belzer was quite positive, actually, in the sheds after, and it gave us a little rap, which was real nice.
Christian, in the AFL world, when you hear current players talk, they say, oh, you know, the 5 or at best 10 minutes after a win, that's the best time of the week because you get to enjoy it, and then you have to move on. How long do you guys get to enjoy a win like that? I'm hoping it's more than 5 or 10 minutes.
No, it's actually, we've got a good run. I think we've got about 9 or 10 day turnaround. So had a few beers last night. And then we actually had to get out of Sydney because of the COVID rules. A few of us were planning to stay up there. And, you know, I've got a brother who lives up there. But we've all come back and hopefully have a few beers tonight and watch a good game AFL. And, I suppose celebrate a little bit. But at the end of the day, it's still just another round. And it's a 26-round season, so we can't get too fussed about it.
No, you can't, and we won't. But just let us sort of dive a bit deeper into it just for the time being. Did you have a sense that a performance like this was coming? Mm. And I'll go back to the week before. The second half against the Sharks, you tore them apart, mate. Like that, the team was unstoppable. It was like just you're scoring tries at will and you were punching holes in them and you're in the middle of it all. You were, you know, doing what you do and laying it off and almost scoring tries. I mean, it was all happening. Did off the back of that performance, did you suspect that you had a pretty special one in you against the Rabbits?
I think we've got a pretty special team as it is. I'm supremely confident in, you know, how far we can go this year with the team we've got. We've got a really special bunch of guys and really good depth. We're missing Papenhuyzen, who I think he's still leading our Dally M, which is the Brownlow equivalent for AFL. And I think he's missed kind of the last three games. And to have a bloke like that out of your side, Nico Hines comes in and just it all runs so smoothly. So, yeah, look, really happy with where we're at. I think we're 7 from 9 and I think we're coming second now. So it's a really positive start to the year because that top four finish is really important.
Will Josh Adokar have to buy a beer tonight, Christian? He's the 6 tries. I had to ask Andy, my co-host, if that had ever happened before. That seems quite extraordinary.
Yeah, I think it's 71 years. I think it was the 1950s it happened last. So, amazing. And he's such a great fella. And there's so many good stories in our sport and in our team, especially, you know, Josh's had a bit of trouble in his youth with a bit of crime and pretty tough upbringing. And he's just really turned into such a good role model for young people and especially Indigenous kids coming through to aspiring to be playing the NRL and be a bloke like him.
It's a great point. So, Christian, we know you're in Melbourne. You know, you're pretty keen on the D's and you will have noticed during the week that Christian Petrarca, who'd probably be pretty good at your game too, by the way, I reckon. He might go all right, rugby league. He'd be pretty good.
He's strong.
He's got a step two on him, I reckon. He might be all right at rugby league. signs that 7-year, $6.5 million deal. What's it commonplace in league? Are there many blokes running around in the NRL on sort of 5-, 6-, 7-year deals?
No, not really. I think probably the biggest. Well, actually, no, we've got a couple of 10-year deal guys, Jason Tamalolo and Daly Cherry Evans, but they're outliers, really. Yeah, generally it's about 3 to 4 for the big boys, and obviously we've got a bit more freedom of movement. We're not restricted, you know, like those AFL guys with 8 years of service and whatnot. So, yeah, you generally don't need to offer such a huge length of a deal because, you know, players can move around a bit easier.
Do you like it? I mean, just as a sports fan, do you like players being offered and accepting these, you know, these kind of longer term deals? How does it sit with you just as a bloke who likes his sport?
Yeah, I've got no dramas for them. Yeah. You're gambling, basically. You know, you're basically saying, you know, return on our investment, we're going to get Christian Petrarca, you know, fantastic player till he's 33. You know, you're taking away from potentially moving clubs. And then obviously you got to deal with the other things, you know, sadly, you know, players get injured and stuff like that. So there's both ends to it. And I think in rugby league, it's an interesting one. You know, when clubs seem to get it wrong, and particularly in NRL, you know, they sign these players long-term deals and they might not live up to them on performance. They might do everything else right on the field. But then the commentary around that is the fans and the media pundits are going, oh, you know, let's fix this, let's just cut him. But then it doesn't swing the other way for a, you know, they sign this guy on a 5-year deal to really good value money and he outperforms it. They don't go, all of a sudden we're going to give you a bag of money to upgrade it. You know? So it's a bit of a hypocrisy, I think, that they talk about contracts and, oh, we're going to respect contracts, but then they want to brush blokes who maybe aren't living up to it. So, yeah, it's an interesting one.
If you were in charge down at the Demons, Christian, who would you sign on a long-term deal? Because if I was in charge, Luke Jackson would get probably an 11 to 12-year sort of mega deal. He's my new favourite player. Yeah. Who would you give a long deal to?
Oh, he's going good. I just think the guys at the back, you know, obviously Thompson, the poor bugger's hurt his knee, but Lever and Stephen May, those guys have been brilliant, I reckon, at the back this year. Not that I know much about AFL, but I'm on the hype train and we're going the distance this year. That's all I can tell you.
So, it's okay. I love it. I love the fact that you're keen to have a chat about this sport from your vantage point. So let's have just a chat about from this perspective. Simon Goodwin's been under pressure for the last couple of years. There's been, you know, the expectations of seasons coming into this year probably haven't been met. And Simon Goodwin has, the coach has been feeling probably or experiencing some external kind of heat. In the last couple of years, Christian, they've re-signed two pretty long-term contracts, you know, 5 or 6 now of their key players. What should we as fans take that to say about the relationship between the players and their coach? I know you don't know because you're not in there, but you're playing the game, you know, and you're interested in this mob. What would you read into that?
Oh, I just think that he's got a good relationship with his players. That they obviously see a bright future with him driving it forward. And I think you look at modern-day coaching, the head coach, a lot of it's man management, just making sure everyone's on the right same page. There's not a whole lot of coaching. Well, you know, at the Storm, you know, Craig Bellamy doesn't really run any sessions in the preseason. He basically takes over in March. But from November, he just delegates to his assistant coaches. And I think that's why there's been so many assistant coaches who have come out and been successful NRL coach because they've been given the reins. But yeah, a lot of him is sitting back watching the players and I kind of get that vibe from Melbourne where they brought a couple of new assistants in this year who might have made a good impact, and he's kind of steering the ship pretty well. So it seems to be flowing pretty well there across the road at Melbourne.
Just on Bellamy, that whole kind of the man management perspective, has he got one out of all of the things that he challenges you guys to be and do? So you got one non-negotiable more than any other. Is there one common? You've been with him for a while now. Is there one common thread, or one more consistent thread that he pushes through what you guys are building that more than any other?
I think he really respects consistency and effort and having consistent performances, not having, you know, volatility. You might be great 1 week, score 6 tries, and then the next week you play terrible. He likes those guys who can consistently perform and he can rely on them. And I'd say he's probably his greatest strength as a coach, I think, from a player's perspective, is his honesty. And a lot of the time you don't like it. You know, I've got some friends in the AFL and NRL, and, you know, there's nothing worse when a coach, you know, just tells you kind of what you want to hear. You're getting dropped, or you need more match fitness or whatever, and it's not the real reason. Just burns players up, whereas he'll just go, mate, you know, I don't think you've been good enough, or... And it's pretty tough to get, but at least you go away and you know where you sit with him. And I think that's, you know, I think players really respect that.
And so how much of your kind of review stuff that you do, how much of that is data-driven? For example, last night you had a game-high 184 metres last night. When it comes to assessing performances in your sport, how much is it hit-ups, tackles, you know, repeat sprint? How much of it is that compared to, you know, just a... I don't know, more kind of holistic sort of observation of a performance.
Yeah, look, I think there's a bit of a separation, I think, from what the media and external people are valuing and looking at. And, you know, it's funny you say that about the run meters. You know, it's a bit of a nothing stat for a team and a player like myself that, you know, we take our own individualised stats that our coaches will spend hours watching the game and they'll do their own. And obviously they refer to the generic NRL stats, but it's not really a big thing. Like my running meters, that doesn't really impact the game. Yeah, I've had a fair few runs, but, you know, there's more important things in my role that I think Craig really highlights and values. And in the reviews, he really focuses on those things, the real pressure moments of each position and stuff like that. I suppose that doesn't come up, you know, when there's an online commentary. And I think that's interesting. Like I actually struggle watching NRL because, you know, the commentary, I find myself analysing it too much, whereas I can watch the AFL and sit back and actually be quite passive and relax and enjoy it because I don't fully understand it, but I can really appreciate the athletes that are out there and the game to a certain extent. So,
Christian,
yeah,
is that
hard watching rugby league.
Is that a view, do you think, might be shared by a lot of your teammates? Because that, my eyes sort of lit up then when I heard, because that rings true for my experience in the AFL. A lot of guys don't watch the game because they can't switch off the analysis side of it, so they get their enjoyment from other sports.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, and I think it's right. I think that's, you know, a lot of guys in the Storm, we love watching the AFL, and obviously we watch a bit of NRL, but I find myself analysing it a fair bit, and then also again a little bit frustrated, I think, from some of the commentators and the commentary around, oh, they've done this, and that's worked because this player's done that, and you kind of almost disagree a lot of the time on and on how teams get results in that, from, I suppose, the lens I'm looking at through the Melbourne Storm, how we approach footy.
That's fascinating. It really is. So you'll have a couple of quiet beers tonight. Will you go to the footy tomorrow night, or are you a tracky dacks, old wind cheater, feed up and watch it on the telly? What do you do?
I'm going to try and go. I went to the round one game, but there's not actually too many Demons fans at the Storm, so it might be a bit of a tough sell. So. Yeah. There's a few boys trying to push to get along to the Geelong Tigers game. I think that's probably the marquee game of the round, isn't it?
Yeah, it might be pretty good.
That's pretty good.
Hey, mate, well done last night. I mean, it was a phenomenal performance. It really was. You know that, and everybody watching knows that. And the funny thing was that even though it was a stunning scoreline, I think people who have been watching you and your teammates play for the last 20 years are not all that surprised that Melbourne Storm did that to a highly ranked opponent. So. It's a credit to, you know, the reputation that you've established for yourselves and you continue to uphold. Hey, thanks for coming on the show. Enjoy your weekend. Good luck next week.
Thanks, guys. Hey, also, I just got a quick question. It's a bit of a golden rule in NRL. No team has won a premiership after conceding 50 points. I was wondering if you guys knew what the equivalent was for AFL. You know, I saw that West Coast, you know, they lost by 100 to the Cats the other week at Geelong, didn't they?
So
I was just curious, is there a magic number there on the AFL?
That is a great question.
So what's the most...
The biggest margin biggest of margin teams of, conceded yep, and,
Steiner Steiner season, won it.
Yeah, and still won the flag.
Yeah, that's a great question.
I'll tell you what, we'll find that out for you.
Yeah, let us know if you can. Send us a tweet.
It's a good... We will, mate. It's a good question. Swamp, Josh Kay, that's right up your alley, I reckon.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Welsh joining us for Red Z, loans to the self-employed, redz.com.au. We'll try and get one of those blokes onto it right now. Let's try and find out before we get to 6 o'clock, and we'll let Christian know before we're done. If you do happen to know, let us know. 1-300-736-736. And to celebrate Josh Addo-Carr's record-breaking 6 tries, never been done by a Storm player before, Storm's launched a membership deal. As you do. God love membership departments. 6 games for the price of 4. Go to the Melbourne Storm website to sign up.